their plans. We're joined now by John T. Horner, professor of astrophysics at the University of Southern Queensland, to chat about them. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
It's always a pleasure. How are you going?
I'm going very well. So can you tell us about one or two of these startups that are venturing into space? I know you mentioned a couple of exciting ones.
It's really interesting times for me because as astronomers, we never normally think about industry and industry connections. You know, we're doing something that's very much blue sky science, essentially. We're looking at really hypothetical questions, looking at the most distant things. But obviously with the current focus on industry and stuff like that, we're starting to learn and realizing that there's actually a lot of the things that we do that can be applied to kind of more commercial aspects, more commercial ventures, but also applied to things that have more real world kind of impact. And one of the two companies coming out of USQ that I think is really cool is called Fuego. And this is very topical at the minute with the horrible fire season we're having.
Yeah.
But it's something that has its origins in supernova astronomy, which is not something you'd think of as being immediately directly applicable to the Earth, right?
Yeah, not normally.
And the idea is that people who search for supernovae, these exploding stars in the most distant galaxies, have to detect very, very, very tiny changes in the whole vastness of the cosmos and zoom in on them and center in to get all the data they need. And if you apply that technology instead of looking up but looking down, whether it's from drones, from aircraft, or from satellites, you can apply it to get a much better handle on bushfires.
Right.
You can figure out when they're more likely to start, catch them earlier, and also provide much more real-time updates on how they're moving, what direction they're going in, how they're spreading, which hopefully should be really helpful to the fireys out there actually on the front line trying to close these things down. And if you can catch them earlier, stop them spreading, that's just got to be a fabulous, fabulous thing. So that's Fuego, and the whole goal of it is to improve how we deal with bushfires using technology that derives from supernova observations.
And obviously, if you're if they're able to detect little tiny changes very, very far away, the Earth is a lot closer, so maybe a little bit easier.
Exactly. I mean, this is the idea. You're looking for the tiniest of tiny changes, which is how you'd be able to tell when a fire is just getting started and it's hidden by the bushland, it's hidden by the trees. But if you can use these technologies that pick up that infinitesimal variation, you can catch it sooner and hopefully prevent a catastrophe.
That sounds really interesting and useful, especially, I mean, preventing disasters or controlling disasters is always a good goal. And as you said, you know, often with astronomy, we don't think of it as a practical science. There's another one that you also were talking about, which is to do with satellite tracking. So what's that about and why do we do it?
This is an interesting one as well. This is a company called Neora that I'm involved with. And it started out just as a way of looking at supporting asteroid mining, this idea that, you know, now that we've got commercial space, now that people are moving commercial interests off Earth rather than it just being a government thing, we're going to start looking at getting resources off the Earth, whether that's at the moon or whether it's on asteroids. And the idea was to try and help that process by learning more about the asteroids and telling people essentially where best to do the mining, where best to look. So essentially being the people in the gold rush who sell the maps, that's the kind of idea. Mm-hmm. But the added value we get out of it, what we've been thinking about, is the fact that the same technology, the same telescopes, can also be used to track satellites to get a better feel of how they're moving and also to track the debris that's floating around up there that is not satellites, but it's the leftovers, maybe from collisions of satellites or the spare parts from when they're launched, that's becoming more and more of a problem. And if you're launching a multi-million dollar, multi-hundreds of million dollar satellite, you want to know where all the debris is so that you can be where it isn't.
So you don't just crash it into random space junk.
Absolutely. And this is obviously going to get ever more important with people like Elon Musk aspirationally thinking of putting 42,000 satellites up in the next year or two, which will be fairly calamitous for mainstream astronomy. But it's going to pose an interesting problem from the debris management side of things as well, because you're going to increase the number of active satellites by more than a factor of 10.
Right.
Which means you're also going to increase the amount of debris up there by more than a factor of 10. There's going to be a lot more going on, and it's going to be getting really kind of rush hour out in space.
That's, I mean, and also you mentioned, you know, impacts on astronomy. It's going to make observation of the space pretty hard when you have like a solid metal screen around the Earth, isn't it?
It is. It's not going to be such a problem for the kind of work we do at USQ where we're looking for planets around other stars, because we're just looking at one star at a time. And the odds of a satellite coming across our field of view there are pretty low, to be honest, interfering with us. You'd need to get an absolutely perfect chance alignment. But some of the big projects coming online, that are billion-dollar projects in the next couple of years, are designed to scour the entire sky continuously, finding things that could threaten the Earth, finding things that could hit us.
Yeah.
All these new satellites going up is a real problem, because they're going to be everywhere on the sky going through every image.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the ways that we can actually give back to the astronomy community. If we can track those satellites better, we have a better idea where they are. It's easier to identify them on the images and take them away, so you can look at what's actually beyond by subtracting the things that are in the foreground.
So now, Jonty, we did talk, I think, earlier this year when the Minerva program was just kind of starting up and getting going. Where does that project stand now? It's another something else that's happening at USQ.
Yeah, this is Minerva Australis, which is our planet-finding facility, and it's the only facility in the Southern Hemisphere that's absolutely dedicated to this kind of work. All it does is look for planets around other stars. And we've had some good wins already. We've been involved with planet discoveries that other people have led, but we've contributed really helpful data to. But our first discovery paper is literally on the press, about to be submitted in the next week or two.
That's very exciting.
I can't give much more details about that, but that's the first one we've led. And that's going to be a real breakthrough moment, because it puts us on the map. It's like, hey, we're doing this awesome stuff, and people worldwide will take note. We've got the most accurate technology, most accurate equipment in the whole of Australasia doing this, and it's dedicated to our one task, which is finding planets around other stars. And it's all really exciting days, and you're going to hear a lot more about it over the next 12 months, I think.
Well, yeah, maybe we'll come back and talk about that when you can actually, discuss it a little bit more in detail.
Absolutely, I'd be delighted to. I don't think it's going to be too long. I think we'll have the paper submitted within a week or two, and then it's at the whim of the peer review process. It could be a fortnight, it could be 3 months, depending on who they send it to and how busy they are.
Well, I look forward to it. Thank you so much for joining us this morning to chat about these interesting projects.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.